Tonight on the Worldview Weekend Hour, Hamas in America, Part 4. You know what the BDS movement is really all about? Boycott, divestment, sanctions? It's not really about boycotting Israel. It's about teaching the world to hate Israel and then to justify the persecution of the Jews, not only in their homeland, but all over the globe. And did you know this is going on America's college campuses? The connection between Hamas and BDS. The Worldview Weekend Hour begins right now.
WVW TV presents the Worldview Weekend Hour with Brannon House. Whether the topic is law, science, government, economics, history, family, social issues, education, or theology, Brannon brings the issues of today into clear focus through the lens of a biblical worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Hello, I'm Brannon House, and welcome to the Worldview Weekend Hour. And tonight, we're going to talk about BDS and its connection to Hamas in our lesson 4 of Hamas in America. Just to remind you, BDS stands for Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions. Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions. And we'll look tonight at the connection, as I said, between BDS and Hamas. It's very important for people to understand that BDS is really not about boycotting the Jews. It's really about teaching the world to hate the Jews. And then after the world hates the Jews, then they turn a blind eye to the persecution of the Jews. We'll look at that tonight. Well, here is again the Hamas Charter, because it really helps set up how Hamas and BDS are really on the same track. Here's what Hamas Charter said. Our struggle against the Jews is very great and very serious. It needs all sincere efforts. It is a step that inevitably should be followed by other steps. The movement is but one squadron that should be supported by more and more squadrons from this vast Arab and Islamic world until the enemy is vanquished and Allah's victory is realized, end quote. You see what the goal there is, don't you? And as we've seen in past programs, the goal of Hamas, and Hamas is in America, it's part of Muslim Brotherhood, it's part of CARE, we've documented it, we've laid it out, and it's not according to us, it's according to their own documents, and it's according to our own federal government. When our federal government actually had the wherewithal, the guts, to carry out the purpose and function of government, reward the righteous and punish the wicked and bring evildoers to justice. Well, when our federal government at the judicial level actually worked, our own federal government, in one federal court case after another, declared the connection between Hamas, CARE, Muslim Brotherhood, that are all here in America, penetrating at the highest levels and all the way down to the local level. Well, we know that, in fact, there is a connection between Hamas, this terrorist organization, and BDS. Let me give you one example. Look at this article. Birds of a feather, the link between BDS and Hamas. Naive college students are due for a wake-up call, says Ziva Dahl. Since the goals of Hamas and BDS intersect, it's not surprising that former U.S. Treasury terrorism analyst Jonathan Skanzer recently testified before two subcommittees on the House Committee on Foreign Affairs about a troubling link between a major American funder and the United States BDS campaign and the terrorist organization Hamas. Using available open source information, it's possible to examine past associations of individuals now active in American Muslims for Palestine, AMP. A major supporter of Students for Justice in Palestine, the campus arm of the American BDS movement. Let me just stop right there. I hope you understand what he's saying. The American arm of BDS on our American campuses is known as what? Students for Justice in Palestine. Students for Justice in Palestine, the campus arm of the American BDS movement. The article says, from this data, Mr. Skanzer, now working for the Foundation in Defense of Democracies, concluded that, quote, at least seven individuals who work for are on behalf of the American Muslims for Palestine, have worked for or on behalf of organizations previously shut down or held civilly liable in the United States for providing financial support to Hamas. The Holy Land Foundation for Relief and Development, the Islamic Association for Palestine, and the Kind Hearts Foundation for Humanitarian Development. According to Mr. Shanzer's testimony, the U.S. Treasury in 2001 designated the Holy Land Foundation the U.S. financing arm of Hamas. From 1995 to 2001, quote, the Holy Land Foundation sent approximately $12.4 million outside of the United States with the intent to willfully contribute funds, goods, and services to Hamas, end quote. Seven officials were indicted, and the organization was closed down. Three individuals from the Holy Land Foundation now work for or on behalf of AMP. And it goes on to list them. Hossein Khatib, a board member for AMP and former regional director for Holy Land Foundation. Jamil Said, keynote speaker of the at AMP fundraisers, and an unindicted co-conspirator of the Holy Land Foundation trial against Holy Land Foundation and Salal Sosar, AMP board member who spent 8 months in an Israeli jail for his Hamas activity. Islamic Association for Palestine also raised money and provided material support for Hamas in America. AIP was found civilly liable in federal district court for supporting Hamas, and it's subsequently disbanded. FDD discovered that four former IAP operatives now are involved with AMP. Now remember, AMP is the college branch that's really pushing BDS. So you've got four former AIP operatives now involved with the AMP organization pushing BDS on America's campuses. And it lists who they are. Rafiq Jabir, former president of IAP and current representative and tax preparer for AMP. Sufyan Naban, I could care less if I'm saying these right, AMP board member for AIP's former Michigan representative. Osama Abu Urshade, current national coordinator for AMP and former editor of AIP's newspaper, and however you say that person's name, previously AIP's secretary general and Kind Hearts Illinois representative and now a director for AMP. The U.S. Treasury froze Kind Hearts assets for providing support for terrorism, and it disbanded, end quote. The article concludes, the infiltration of Hamas terror financiers into major American BDS funding group should be a wake-up call to naive college students and BDS apologists who think the BDS campaign is all about human rights and ending the occupation, end quote. All right, what is all that saying? This former U.S. Treasury official has done his homework. Notably, notice it said at the very beginning of the article, open source. Open source. Let me just stop right there for a minute. People often wonder, how is it, House, that you know all of these things that you talk about with your guests? Are you being fed information? Well, there are people inside the intelligence community that we are friends with, but none of them are breaking the law and feeding us classified information. Many of them simply tip us off to what is in open source. Anyone can find this material. In fact, some of them inside the intelligence community or retired from the intelligence community have openly told us and said publicly that about 90% of what you need to understand what's going on is in open source, meaning any of you can watch it, look at it, read it, learn about it. That means only about 10% of what our intelligence community is dealing with, according to them, is classified. The rest of it, 90%, is open source. And when I've asked in the past, why is it that so many people in the intelligence community seem so oblivious to what's happening, because I've had retired CIA and other guys inside intelligence fields, current and retired, say, you and your guests understand more of what's happening on a global scale in the big picture than most of the guys in the intelligence community today who have security clearances. And I'm like, well, how is that possible? And the comment is, because about 90% of what you need is open source. And because it's open source, many of them don't think it's important, therefore they don't study it. So they only study what is classified because they assume that's where all the important information is. Well, if you're only studying the classified information, that means you're studying about 10% of the information. 90% of what you should be studying, they're not studying because it's open source, and apparently many of them, because it's open source and not classified, don't think it must be important. Now, again, I've had several current and retired people in the intelligence community tell us this. So notice that this former Treasury official who's now doing research did it all with open source and said, look, this organization that is tied to pushing BDS, the American branch of BDS, and pushing it to our college kids, has people working for them or on behalf of them or has or does, people working for them that are tied to organizations that have been closed down or indicted, that are tied to Hamas, and they're on our college campuses. Well, not a shocker, because we've already figured out from the federal government doing some of the homework for us and letting us know about it in open source, that they believe Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood, and CARE are really all the same thing. Now, again, most people are aware that somebody is shooting rockets over into Israel. I don't know if you guys get any of the text alert, news alerts that are out there. I do, from a couple different news sources based in Israel. But the last couple of weeks, my phone text alerts is constantly blowing up with sirens are sounding in Israel because there are rockets coming from the Gaza into Israel. Well, that's Hamas. And as I've said in past programs, many Americans may know about Hamas and that they're shooting rockets into Israel, but many of them don't know that Hamas is in America. And they certainly don't know that Hamas is working to turn the hearts of their young people on college campuses not only against America, but against the Jewish people. And let me make it very clear, as we will see tonight and as I've made it clear in the past, the Islamists in America would not be making any headway to the degree they are if it wasn't for the Marxists. And we're going to see that tonight. The BDS movement, the anti-Semitic, Jew-hating, largely Holocaust-denying proponents of BDS, boycott, divestment, sanction, many of the proponents in America are open Marxists, socialist or Marxist. Once again, proving that without that red-green axis, red being the Marxist, green being the color of the jihadi Islamic flags around the globe, if it wasn't for that red-green axis, BDS would be making very little movement or headway, not only in America, but around the world. Islamists in general would not be making any headway if it wasn't for the Marxist using them as their junkyard dog to destroy the West and de-Christianize the West. Look at this headline. Jerusalem Post. The world from here, Hamas and BDS, by Dan Diker, published back in March of 2014. He said, quote, Hamas and its parent Muslim Brotherhood organization fuel and direct international BDS and anti-Israel political activities on hundreds of university campuses across the United States via the Muslim Student Association. Well, let me just stop right there. Muslim Student Association. If you watched my documentary, Sabotage, and you can still watch the first hour for free at sabotagethemovie.com, if you watch that documentary, you will see a Muslim Student Association gal with her hijab wearing the terrorist neckerchief. You will see that she gets up and confronts Jewish conservative David Horowitz. It's in the trailer. You can watch it. It's sabotagethemovie.com. And she begins to defend Hamas and Muslim Brotherhood. And she goes on to brag about the Muslim Student Association that she's a part of on her college campus and that they celebrate Hitler Week and invites David Horowitz to come out to Hitler Week, sponsored by Muslim Student Association. I think it came to America and started on a college campus in Illinois in about 1969. Muslim Student Association. They have Hitler Week. Need I say more? Muslim Student Association is a division of Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood started in 1928. In 87, they formed Hamas, and in 94, they formed CARE. And they have penetrated some 600 to 700 college and university campuses around America. Now, what is increasingly going to happen, and we're already seeing it, but it's going to increasingly pick up speed, and that is the number of American Caucasians converting to Islam. And it is going to get increasingly difficult for Americans to weed out the jihadis or consider who might be a risk because they are going to blend in so very well. Now, you might ask, how are these American Caucasians come to be converted to Islam? Largely on the college campuses. I believe through groups like Muslim Student Association. But they're there, and they're part of promoting the anti-Semitism and BDS movement. Now, again, the BDS movement, boycott, divestment, sanction, is not about really boycotting Israel to the point that Israel somehow collapses economically. As I've told you, the people that actually run BDS are complete hypocrites. Some of them actually live, as the co-founder does of BDS, live in Israel. So if they're really interested in boycotting Israel, why don't they get their tail ends out of Israel? And how many of them are going to give up their cell phones, since so much cellular technology comes from the Israelis, or their thumb drives, or their GPS, or their medical treatment? So many of these things that come from the technology created by Jews. Well, they're not about to boycott that, because BDS isn't really about boycotting Israel till it financially collapses. It's really about what was going on in the time of the 1930s and the boycotts of Jews and Jewish businesses then. It is simply to condition the world to believe the lies about the Jews and then to justify their persecution. And the same thing is going on when it comes to the Jews as is going on with Christians. Right now in America and around the world, Christians and Jews are the main target. Right now, we know in America that if you're a conservative that holds to any kind of Judeo-Christian ethic, you're a conservative, Christian, capitalist, you are automatically deemed what? A racist. Right? Well, the same information operation that's going on to vilify conservative Christians and Americans that hold to conservative American ideas, the same is going on with the Jews. The same information operation of the Marxist to paint the conservative capitalist as a racist is the same thing going on with the Marxists and the Islamists to portray the Jews as the source of all suffering and evil and oppression along with the conservative capitalist Christians. You notice how the groups are categorized together, Christians and Jews? Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have, quote, Christians and you don't have so-called Jews helping them. And why do I put that in quotes? Because there are many so-called Christians that are pushing the hatred of conservative Christians. They're liberal Christians pushing the hatred of conservative Christians. And there are many liberal Jews that are aiding, I believe, the anti-Semitism of the liberals. So just because someone is a so-called Christian or so-called Jew doesn't mean that they agree with us politically, doesn't mean they see the problem. And in fact, some of them may be throwing in with the haters, as we will see tonight. A socialist, Marxist Jew throwing in with BDS. You'll see about it and hear about it tonight. And what they're trying to really say is that the problem isn't so much Jews, and the problem isn't really Christians, it's those who hold to these ideas. If you hold to these ideas, you're the racist. That's why they can call Black Americans racist. You're thinking, wait a minute, how can the Black American be a racist? Not that there can't be reverse racism, but how is it they're so readily equipped to label Black conservative racist? Because it's not about the color of their skin or their people group, it's about their values. And if they hold to capitalist free market ideas, they're by very nature a racist. That's why they criticize men like, well, Clarence Thomas, Black conservative sitting on the Supreme Court. So in many cases, we're surrounded by Christians, quote Christians, and surrounded by people who are, quote, Jews, that don't care at all about the Judeo-Christian worldview. In fact, there are many of them are hate the ideas we stand for, very much like the self-hating Jew of Karl Marx or the self-hating Jew of Sigmund Freud. And as you'll see tonight, one Jewish guy has no patience for the nation state of Israel, doesn't want to visit Israel, doesn't care that he's Jewish. He's Jewish by birth. Other than that, he could care less about the Jews, yet he is by heritage Jewish. So it gets very confusing. And a lot of people can't figure out the landscape because they're thinking, wait a minute, these are Jewish people, but look at what they're saying. How does that fit with what House is saying? Well, it's getting very confusing. Well, the article continues in the Jerusalem Post. Many of the Muslim Student Association's 600 chapters in North America have been branded, quote, extensions of the Muslim Brotherhood, end quote, as the Muslim Brotherhood itself stated in its original plan, captured in the FBI's raid on the Holy Land Foundation, a Hamas charity in 2001, end quote. And yes, that was in the sub-basement of a jihadi in Northern Virginia, where they found the Muslim explanatory memorandum, which said they would get Americans to sabotage their own miserable house by their own hands. And we're doing it. And I'll show you how more in just a minute. That's why my docu-movie that came out last year is called Sabotage, from that Muslim explanatory memorandum. Look at this headline. What American Jews don't understand about BDS. Quote, BDS isn't about speech or economics, but intimidation. Like its Nazi predecessor, the purpose of the boycott is to dominate public spaces through a series of confrontations with Jews. These confrontations are calculated to make it seem as if the perpetrators are the victims by engaging in harassment and then claiming that the response to the harassment has deprived the perpetrators of their free speech. End quote. Well, this goes on all the time in Israel. Hamas launches rockets into Israel over and over. And then when Israel responds, they scream and holler about how Israel has killed a bunch of jihadis, blown up a hospital. Oh, those evil Jews, they destroyed a hospital. Well, guess what? They were shooting rockets from the hospital. It was an abandoned hospital, and they were shooting rockets from it. And Israel oftentimes gives folks plenty of warning what they're about to do so innocent lives are not taken. And then, yes, they go in and they destroy that school or that hospital. But the media only portrays a false narrative that the Jews blew up a hospital, leaving the impression that they just killed a bunch of innocent people laying in their hospital beds. Well, again, the goal is to deprive us of freedom of speech and the Jews of freedom of speech. Look at that last headline. These confrontations are calculated to make it seem as if the perpetrators are the victims by engaging in harassment, then claiming that the response to the harassment has deprived the perpetrators of their free speech. Well, wait a minute. Are the Muslims losing their free speech? No, I would say it's the conservative Americans that are losing their free speech. We're the ones being told if we say something truthful about Islam, that it is Islamophobia. It's hate speech. It is the Muslim Brotherhood and these groups working with the Marxists on legislation to put in place hate crime laws that would kick us off the airwaves or prosecute us for saying certain things on the air or on the internet. They're the ones going after free speech. And they're making sure that the truth is not told. Here's a case. Even off the own website of CARE, CARE Georgia, to release report on anti-Muslim police training. Call on law enforcement agencies to drop Islamophobic course. Yet, you know what? The courses are just speaking truth from the Islamic sources, the Quran, the Hadith. They're quoting the Reliance of the Traveler and other well-known scholarly works that are approved by the worldwide Islamic community. And even when you cite their original sources, it's Islamophobia. No, what it really is an information operation to scream harassment by simply speaking the truth and depriving Americans of their freedom of speech while they claim they're the ones being harassed and deprived of freedom of speech. Look at this next headline. This comes from Judicial Watch. CARE, that's the Council on American Islamic Relations, that's really Hamas. CARE gets police to cancel anti-Muslim terrorism training. You know what? We're not anti-Muslim. There are many Muslims in America that do not practice Islam. Can I say that again? There are many Muslims in America that don't practice Islam. They don't. They're like my friend Shoram Hadian, former Muslim from Iran. His daddy was a beer-drinking, pork-eating Muslim, and he left Iran, got his family out about 6 weeks before the fall of Iran, the fall of the Shah, because he did not want to live in Iran under Sharia. He was Muslim, but he did not practice Islam. So when they claim that we are involved in anti-Muslim training or anti-Muslim programming, no, we're not anti-Muslim. We're anti-Islamic. It's a big difference. In fact, there are Muslims that the Islamists kill on a global scale. And you might ask yourself, why do Islamists kill fellow Muslims? Because those Muslims are deemed to be hypocrites. They're not practicing. ISIS kills Muslims all the time because they're not practicing according to the Quran, according to the Hadiths. And people say, oh, ISIS is extreme. ISIS is not real Islam. No, show me one thing ISIS does that is not found in their documents and calls for them to do. You won't. What ISIS does is what is required of them. They're killing oftentimes Muslims who don't practice Islam to the full extent and are thus hypocrites and are worthy to be killed along with the infidels, Christians, Jews, people of the book. But that's what they do. They say we're anti-Muslim. No, we're not. Here's a headline, Jihad Watch. Mueller, that'd be Robert Mueller, former FBI director. Mueller worked with Hamas-linked groups to purge counter-terror training of material offensive to Muslims. Yeah, who's the one again being deprived of freedom of speech? But not only freedom of speech, folks, we're being deprived of our national security. Now, under the guise of hate speech, law enforcement is not allowed to be trained on the things that I am teaching you tonight and in this series, or that I and the experts teach you in our docu-movie, Sabotage. We have a TV series coming up soon that will be post-editing, that's 4 hours, where David Boress, former chief of police of Woodstock, Georgia, sat at this desk for 4 hours and taught 4 one-hour classes that he should be teaching to law enforcement, but is often prevented from doing so because of Hamas doing business in America as CARE and using the media to stop him and others like him from training law enforcement officials. Now, if you don't know who the enemy is or their tactic, you're gonna lose. If you don't name the enemy, know their tactics, you can take it to the bank. You can better believe that you're gonna lose. And David Boress, former chief of police in Woodstock, Georgia, came and sat in this studio and recorded 4 one-hour shows, and we will post-edit them and we will put them out. Why? Because he isn't being allowed to train the number of police departments that he should be allowed to train. So when we found out about this and we became friends with him, we said, if you would like to film in our studio, we'll film those 4 hours, we'll post-edit them, and we'll put it out there to people and let them hear it and see it and share it with their friends who are police officers or deputy sheriffs. Well, if their leadership will not allow them to be trained in the truth to defend our national security at the local and state level, then we will do the training over the internet and pray that these local police officers and city council members and sheriff deputies watch it on their own time. But this goes on all the time, this shutting down. And Robert Mueller, he's all worried about possible collusion between Donald Trump and Russia while he apparently colludes with Hamas. We have in our docu-movie Sabotage a picture of FBI Director Robert Mueller giving the FBI Director's Award to a known jihadi. We have in Sabotage the movie FBI Director Comey giving the FBI Director Award to a known jihadi. Notice the common theme here? Robert Mueller, James Comey, apparently are part of the Red-Green Axis. They were working to help Hillary Clinton, a Marxist, I believe, get elected. They stacked the FBI with people that had a sensitivity toward Marxism. Bruce Orr, and of course we know about his wife. And we know Comey was quoting Marxist Christian Reinhold Niebuhr. And then they're running around with jihadis and giving them awards, not letting people be trained on what Islam really is. And Mueller is helping to be a part of the Great Purge. Sounds like a red-green axis to me. And yet Mueller's the one worried about collusion between Trump and Russia. How about his collusion with Muslim Brotherhood slash Hamas? Question mark. By the way, speaking of Robert Mueller, did you see the article in the New York Post? New York Post, September 7th. What is the date today? Does anyone know what the date is today? It's the 8th. So this was yesterday. September 7th, 2019. Here's the headline. Robert Mueller helped Saudi Arabia cover up its role in 9/11 attacks. Yeah, that's what a suit's alleging. By the way, we have our new documentary, Siege, coming out soon. And we have a whole section where I interviewed former CIA operations officer Claire Lopez on how Saudi Arabia and Iran were behind 9/11. This coming week, we will observe the death of thousands of Americans on American soil by what took place at the World Trade Centers, the Pentagon, and in the field of Pennsylvania. Carried out by Saudi Arabia and Iran, according to many experts, including a federal judge. Did you hear what I just said? A federal judge who ruled that Iran owes money to the 9/11 families. Well, good luck getting that because of the billions of dollars that was here that Barack Hussein Obama sent back to Iran that could have been given to the 9/11 families. But a federal judge ruled Iran was complicit. The hijackers were in Iran, from Saudi Arabia into Iran. They were working and training on flight simulators in Iran. Their passports were not stamped when they moved from Iran back into Saudi Arabia. There was some kind of mark on the passport, and the Iranian border folks had been trained to recognize that mark. We don't know what that mark is or was. It's still classified. But they knew not to stamp it. So when they went into Saudi Arabia and then went to the embassy there to get their passports to come into America, no red flags were thrown because of where they had been traveling. Saudi Arabia and Iran were involved in 9/11. Now, here's a new piece of the puzzle. Robert Mueller helped Saudi Arabia cover up its role in 9/11 attacks. This is again, New York Post, written by Paul Sperry. Paul Sperry, for those who don't know, wrote a book with David Gobetz, Muslim Mafia. You can order the book. We sell the book on our website at wvwtv.com/store. Just go to wvwtv.com/store if you want to order it. It's a very thick book. It's written by Dave Gobetz and Paul Sperry, and it's really about my friend Chris Gobetz. David Gobetz is his father. Paul Sperry is the one who wrote this article yesterday in the New York Post. But Chris Gobetz sits at this desk, and we produce his TV show. Chris Gobetz infiltrated CARE undercover, Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood. He grew the Sharia beard, penetrated them undercover for 6 months in Northern Virginia and Washington, D.C., and came out with over 12,000 pages of documents, some of which you'll see in here. This is the basis of the book. David, his father, David Gobetz, took the information from Chris, his son, and with Paul Sperry, they wrote Muslim Mafia. I highly recommend the book. Again, you can get a copy at wvwtv.com/store. So that's Paul Sperry. Now, to the article in the New York Post yesterday. After a lengthy investigation, special counsel Robert Mueller charged Russia made, quote, multiple systemic efforts to interfere in our election, end quote, and said the incursion, quote, deserves the attention of every American, end quote. But former FBI investigators say their old boss didn't feel the same concern when they uncovered multiple systemic efforts by the Saudi government to assist the hijackers in the lead up to the 9/11 attacks. A far more consequential, to say nothing of deadly, foreign influence operation on America. As the head of the FBI at the time, they say Mueller was not nearly as interested in investigating the espionage conspiracy, which also involved foreign intelligence officers. Far from it. The record shows he covered up evidence pointing back to Saudi embassy And the leader there in Saudi Arabia, and may have even misled Congress about what he knew. 9/11 victims agree, quote, he was the master when it came to covering up the kingdom's role in 9/11, end quote, said survivor Sharon Primali, who was pulled from the rubble of the World Trade Center 18 years ago. Quote, in October 2001, Mueller shut down the government's investigation after only 3 weeks and then took part in the Bush administration's campaign to block, obfuscate, and generally stop anything about Saudi Arabia from being revealed, end quote, added Primali, now a plaintiff in the 9/11 lawsuit against Saudi Arabia. In fact, Mueller threw up roadblocks in the path of his own investigators working the 9/11 case, while making it easier for Saudi suspects to escape questioning, multiple case agents told me. Then he deep-sixed what evidence his agents did manage to uncover, according to the 9/11 lawsuit against the Saudis. Time and again, agents were called off from pursuing leads back to the kingdom's embassy in Washington, as well as its consulate in Los Angeles, where former FBI agent Stephen Moore headed 9/11 task force, a 9/11 task force, looking into the local contacts made by two of the 15 Saudi hijackers. Moore testified in an affidavit for the 9/11 lawsuit. He concluded that, quote, diplomatic and intelligence personnel of Saudi Arabia knowingly provided material support to the two hijackers and facilitated the 9/11 plot, quote, yet he and his team were not allowed to interview them according to the suit, end quote. Another one of the men who sits at this news desk, former FBI agent John Guandolo, is cited and quoted in the article. So my friends, we have a real problem. Political correctness, so-called hate speech, Islamophobia is being used not only on our college campuses to say that the Jews and the Christians that speak truth about Islam are hateful, but it's being used in our intelligence community to stop agents from being trained, and it was used apparently by people at the high levels of government to stop agents from investigating who was really behind 9/11, i.e. Saudi Arabia and Iran. One has to wonder, have some of these people converted to Islam, or are they being paid? Because isn't the old saying, follow the money? I mean, what would cause someone to want to do this? I'm only asking questions. Look at this headline. U.S. fundraising site suspends BDS account over alleged terror ties. The subheadline, boycott campaign removed over complaint that notes its affiliation to umbrella group of Palestinian factions, including Hamas and Islamic Jihad, end quote. This is the Israeli Times. Times of Israel, I should say, back in 2018. So there is a connection between BDS and Hamas to the point that a fundraising site shut down their ability to raise money in the U.S., I guess. Now, here is the co-founder of BDS, Omar Bargadi. All right. Now, he lives in Israel, so he's not doing too much boycotting if he lives over there, right? But I guess he's an Arab living there. Here's what he had to say. Good riddance. The two-state solution for the Palestinian-Israeli conflict is finally dead, but someone has to issue an official death certificate before the rotting corpse is given a proper burial, and we can all move on and explore the more just, moral, and therefore enduring alternative for peaceful coexistence between Jews and Arabs in Mandate Palestine, the one-state solution, end quote. Well, there's not going to be any peace if there's one state, because one state means the Jews don't exist. And that's what you're going to find when it comes to BDS or Hamas. They're one and the same in many ways. And what they want is the elimination of the Jews. They want what they say Allah wants. They want the end of the Jews and their Jewish state. Look at this article, or this quote from Omar. Quote, I'm completely and categorically against binationalism because it assumes that there are two nations with equal moral claims to the land, end quote. He said, a Jewish state in Palestine in any shape or form cannot be contravened. The basic rights of the indigenous Palestinian population and perpetrate a system of racial discrimination that ought to be opposed categorically. Definitely, most definitely, we oppose a Jewish state in any part of Palestine. No Palestine, rational Palestine, not a sellout Palestine, will ever accept a Jewish state in Palestine, end quote. And don't forget, by calling it Palestine, They're using a term that was created and given by a Roman emperor, calling it Palestine to insult the Jews. Palestine really being a reference to the Philistines, who when he did this, this Roman emperor, the Philistines hadn't been around for 600 years, but he named this area of land, Israel, Jerusalem, he named this land Palestine, referring to the Philistines, as an insult to the Jews. But most Americans and people around the world don't know that when it's called Palestine, and it's been called that back to the days of Rome, it's not referring to the Palestinian people, it's referring to the Philistines. The Palestinian people have no right to the land, and there's never been a Palestinian state. Omar goes on to say, the co-founder of BDS, you cannot reconcile the right of return for refugees with a two-state solution. A return for refugees would end Israel's existence as a Jewish state. A two-state solution was never moral, and it's no longer working, end quote. So what do we have going on here, folks? Well, this slide says it all. BDS, a coalition of socialists, fascists, Jew haters, and Islamists. That's what BDS is, I believe. Now look at this. Moshe Perlman writes, quote, once upon a time, Arabs and Jews lived peacefully in Palestine. Their leaders walked and planned together. Then came al-Husseini, uncle of Yasser Arafat. He chose fascism and jihad. Moderate leaders had to go, and he dispensed with them by murder and intimidation. His bloody projects were temporarily interrupted by World War II, during which he fled to Germany and cooperated closely with Nazi leaders in plans of extermination and battle. Designated as a war criminal, he escaped Allied hands to continue his work of terror, a work continued by his relatives and associates after his death, end quote. So again, we see that really what we have with modern day PLO is a mixture of jihad with fascism. And of course, fascism would be the system of Adolf Hitler. No wonder he could, as some claim, the Grand Mufti of Palestine, Muslim Brotherhood leader, Grand Mufti al-Husseini, he raised up some 100,000 Muslims to wear the Nazi uniform, as we have seen before. And an article or a book by Chuck Morris called The Nazi Connection to Islamic Terrorism, Chuck Morsi writes, quote, al-Husseini's unique brand of Nazism, a merge between modern scientific socialistic Nazism and a strain of fundamentalist Islam, would make profound inroads into the Arab world during the war. An influence continues to mesmerize today, or metastasize today, as evidenced by the continuing genocidal program against the Jews of Israel. The Nazis did not by any means confine themselves to killing Jews. Likewise, the radical Islamic terrorists, as witnessed on September 11, 2001. The difference between Hitler's Nazism and that of al-Husseini and his Nazi Muslims should ultimately be viewed as strictly cosmetic in nature, end quote. What's he saying? How many of you would have sympathy toward the Nazis? And yet, if you have sympathy toward the Palestinian Liberation Organization, Muslim Brotherhood, CARE, Hamas, you virtually are having sympathies toward Islamo-Nazis. Islamo-Nazis. And there's so much more we could say about this. Going back to the 2008 Holy Land Foundation trial put on by the federal government, it entered into evidence the following information from a Muslim Brotherhood document. Quote, the process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process with all the word means. Muslim Brotherhood must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers. We must possess a mastery of coalitions, the art of absorption and the principles of cooperation, end quote. Well, that's exactly what they've done. A mastery of coalitions. Look at this. I've given it to you before, but it bears repeating. December 2015, the executive director of Council on Islamic Relations declared, quote, Black Lives Matter is our matter. Black Lives Matter is our campaign, end quote. Black Lives Matter is founded by the communists. Three communist ladies started Black Lives Matter. And here you have CARE, Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood saying it's their matter, the red-green axis. In his book, Revolutionary Islam, Carlos the Jackal declared, quote, only a coalition of Marxists and Islamists can destroy the U.S., end quote. Now look at this quote. I found this over at the Jewish Virtual Library, and it is quoting Assad Abukali, or however you say this dude's name. Now look what he said. You probably have never heard of him, neither had I, but I'll tell you who he is, because I went and researched him. Quote, the real aim of BDS is to bring down the state of Israel. That should be stated as an unambiguous goal. There should not be any equivocation on the subject. Justice and freedom for the Palestinians are incompatible with the existence of the state of Israel, end quote. Well, here he is. Look at this dude. Dr. Asad Abakali, or Abakalul, professor of political science at the University of California. Shocker. Out there in California. Well, here is an article I found, and because I'm like, who are these people? I didn't know who these people are. I see these anti-Jewish statements, these anti-Semitic statements promoting BDS, and I think, who are they? And what I found was many of them are socialist, fascist, Marxist, by their own admission. Once again, proving that Hamas, CARE, Muslim Brotherhood, BDS would not be making headway in America if it was not for the red-green axis, the Marxist helping them. So I went and researched some of these people. Let me tell you what I learned. Here's Harper's Magazine, a statute to reason. I interviewed Abu Kalal by phone earlier this week, says the writer Ken Silverstein. Soon after he had returned from a trip to Lebanon, he described himself as a former Marxist, Leninist, now an anarchist, end quote. So that's who's backing BDS. Who else is backing BDS? Well, here's another quote. This is by a Michael Warshawski. I thought, that guy sounds Jewish. So I had to go research him. But first, what did he say? He said, quote, peace, or better yet, justice cannot be achieved without a total decolonization. Only, or one can say de-Zionization of the Israeli state, end quote. So I went and looked up Michael. He's an anti-Zionist Jew. He led the Marxist Revolutionary Communist League until his demise in the 1990s. Just let that sink in for a minute. He's an anti-Zionist Jew. Don't forget, there were plenty of Jews that helped the Nazis load the trains. They were called the Jewish police. Yeah, they were useful idiots. They thought they could save their own hide by loading their own fellow Jews onto the trains. And many of them, oh, well, they simply bought themselves maybe a few days, a few weeks, a few months, maybe a year or so. But in the end, most of them were shot in the head. Go look it up. Christians, quote, Christians have always betrayed Christians. Jews, many of them have betrayed their fellow Jews. Gets very confusing at times. Look at this guy, John Spritzler. I think the BDS movement will gain strength from forthrightly explaining why Israel has no right to exist. Pro-BDS author John Spritzler. He also said, quote, BDS stated goals, ending occupation, equality for non-Jews and Jews, and the right of return of the Palestinian refugees, logically imply the end of Israel as a Jewish state. The state of the Jews is actually an instrument by which a Jewish elite ruling class of billionaires and generals and politicians secures its oppressive grip on ordinary Jews in Israel. This is why there should not be a Jewish state, end quote. I'm thinking to myself, that sounds like a Jewish name. Anti-Zionist socialist Jew living in Boston. So I went and researched this dude. Found out he wrote a book called No Rich and No Poor, subtitled The Populist Goal We Can and Must Win. Well, that's very interesting. What is he calling for? An egalitarian revolution. You know what egalitarianism is? There is no difference. Everyone is the same. Neither male nor female. Everyone's the same. An egalitarian revolution. So I went and researched him a little more to see if he was indeed a socialist or a Marxist, because again, the point I was on and the research was taking me was that much of this BDS movement in America is being pushed by the Marxist for the Hamas Muslim Brotherhood CARE coalition in America, that red-green axis. So I found this article, an interview with John Spritzler on equal rights for Palestinians. John Spritzler is a Jewish American peace activist who's been working very hard to expose the truth about the Israeli Palestinian conflict in his native city of Boston. Question: John, how would you define yourself besides being a Jewish humanitarian and peace activist? Quote, I'm a person whose ancestors on both sides are all Jews, as far as I know. but I do not identify myself as a Jew, other than to acknowledge my Jewish ancestry. Israel has no particular personal meaning to me any more than another foreign nation such as France. I don't speak Hebrew. I like bagels, but I hear the Israelis don't eat bagels much. I have absolutely no desire to travel to Israel. End quote. Question. You have been very active in your city, Boston, and you firmly believe there's been a shift in public opinion, right? Quote. American public opinion is definitely changing in regards to Israel. In the past, most Americans thought Israel was a nation representing the innocent survivors of the Holocaust, and therefore one should support Israel no matter what in order to avoid being an anti-Semite. But that's changing big time. The enormous atrocities that the Israeli government carries out against Palestinians, especially the frequent periodic massacre of Palestinian civilians, is making many Americans, including Jewish Americans, start to question the idea that the Israeli government is deserving of support. Students on college campuses, including Jewish students, are starting to support BDS in growing numbers, end quote. And reality is, as I'll show you next week, these so-called atrocities by the Israeli government and Jews to the Palestinians, a lot of it is lies. Lies, and I'll prove it. But notice what's happening. Many Jews are being misled and supporting this. Many American Jews. I'm more Jewish than some of them. He doesn't even care that he's Jewish, apparently. Has no desire to visit Israel, doesn't care about the Jews, working against them. As I've said many, many times before, I'm more Jewish than some of the Jews in America. I know more about Israel, care about Israel, defend the Jewish people, and will do that to the day I die. Even if they're liberal, I'll defend them as Jews. Why? Because I'm commanded to do so, Genesis 12. I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you, and I understand what God's long-term plan and economy is for the Jewish people. And it involves God's eternal kingdom, which you and I as Christians will be a part of. And so we understand that very special role the Jewish people play and have played in giving us Yeshua, Messiah, and the Holy Spirit moving upon those Jewish writers to give us the Old and New Testament. But notice these college students are joining in that are Jewish. They don't understand that BDS is really about setting up anti-Semitism, and they are not going to be well received. They can be Jewish and say, well, I'm opposed to BDS, or I'm opposed to Israel, I'm for BDS. People won't care. They will have already helped to propagate the lies about the Jewish people, and there will be no distinction between the pro-BDS Jew and the Zionist Jew. And that's how stupid some of these people are, as they're being useful idiots against their own people and themselves at the end. This article went on to interview him. He went on to say, Zionism and apartheid are each words that mean ethnic cleansing, extreme racial ethnic discrimination. Zionism is an ideology that a Jewish ruling upper class of billionaires and generals and politicians use to make ordinary Jews in Israel obey, even though that upper class oppresses them economically to enrich itself at their expense. In other words, he's saying, oh, they're all capitalists. Here we go again. The source of all suffering and oppression are the capitalists. Now it's the capitalist Jews. First, the ethnic cleansing makes its victims, the Palestinians, furious. Since the ethnic cleansing is done in the name of the Jewish people by military forces waving the Star of David, the anger of Palestinians is directed against the so-called Jewish state. He goes on to say the Israeli ruling class then tells ordinary Jews that the Palestinian anger is anti-Semitism and the Palestinians want to kill the Jews because they're Jews. This is a lie. Most Palestinians want only for the ethnic cleansing to end and to be compensated fairly for the property that the Zionists stole from them and to be allowed to live in all the Palestine as equal to Jews under the law. They can live there now, equal under the law. They didn't steal any land. Where are the atrocities? Where's the genocide? We'll look at that next week. This is a common claim, the genocide, the atrocities. Where is the evidence and proof of the atrocities and genocide? Where is the proof of Palestinians being treated in a way where they are not having the right of civil speech, freedom of religion, the vote, to have a job. No, we'll blow all that away next week. The evidence is overwhelming. Lies, lies, and more lies. The same way the lies are spewed in America about conservatives and Christians and constitutionalists. We're not saying Israel's perfect or their government's perfect. I don't have to agree with everything the government does, my government or the Israeli government, to know that the Jews are lied about just as the Christians and the capitalists are lied about. Well, this guy wrote a book, No Rich and No Poor. And when you go to Amazon and find out what he's all about, what he wants is socialism, redistribution of wealth. That's what he wants. He wants socialism, redistribution of wealth. And he's talking about supposedly how we can end up with redistribution of wealth and socialism. Again, notice so many of these people are what? They're Marxist. Here's one more. Laura Kizwani, quote, I think the end of all BDS is to weaken Israel, to isolate Israel, and to give the global community a role in the liberation of Palestine and support the resistance on the ground in Palestine, end quote. As though there's ever been a Palestinian state. There never has been. There's nothing to restore to them. Well, I went and researched her. What's it say about her? Laura Kizwani is from Palestine, but was born and raised in the Bay Area. I don't know how that works. She got her master's in education with an emphasis on equality and social justice. That means socialism, where her work focused on young Arab women, language, and colonization. As a student organizer, community organizer, she was co-founder of the Students for Justice in Palestine, helped to establish the Middle East South Asia Studies Program, and organized with Third World Forums at UC Davis. She has worked as a youth and adult educator, is a lecturer at San Francisco State University in the College of Ethnic Studies, and is the executive director of the Arab Resource and Organizing Center. She's a community organizer. She majored in social justice. That's socialism. Again, the point, most of the people pushing BDS are socialist, fascist, anarchist, or Marxist by their own admission. And you see that red-green axis. And what is the ultimate goal of BDS? It is not to boycott them into oblivion. They know that's not going to happen. Their ultimate goal is to spread lies, genocide. They're an apartheid state. There's ethnic cleansing. They stole the land. And you sit there and you watch tonight and you say, I don't really care. Well, let me tell you, if that's you, and I doubt that's many of you in our audience, but if that's you, you should care. Because after they come for the Jews, they're coming for us. As my friend Olivier Melnick says, the Jews are the appetizer. The Christians are the main course. All right, we'll pick it up here next week. And next week, I'm going to show you the lie about atrocities and ethnic cleansing and apartheid state, and the Palestinians have their civil rights abridged by the Israelis. I'll show all that. It's a lie. It's a lie. Now, if you appreciate what we do here, folks, we need your support. November. 1st of November, we have to renew this live streaming contract. So that's going to be a couple grand right there to renew that. $3,000 a month we have to pay out for you to watch free programs. $2,000 for streaming, just streaming anything you watch. Then there's the live streaming, and then there's the storage. We pay $3,000 a month just so you can watch free stuff. Just so you can watch free stuff. The only way that we make it, folks, is one of two ways. You support us with a tax-deductible contribution at WVWFoundation.com. WVWFoundation.com, or you join our subscription VIP club where we archive our years and years worth of programs, radio, television, books, ebooks, documentaries at situationroom.net. But it's vital we hear from you. We're back from the fall now, and many are back paying attention, and summer times are often slow months for giving. So if you will support us, we greatly appreciate it in one of those two ways, situationroom.net or WVWFoundation.com. Now, we're excited to announce Tomorrow morning, September 9th, tomorrow morning we'll be releasing something I worked on for 12 hours yesterday and 8 hours to 10 hours every day this past week, the trailer for our next docu-movie. As I've already said, you know I released Sabotage last year. I'm releasing Siege in November, subtitled The Clear and Present Dangers Pushing America to the Brink of a Civil War, World War III, Globalism, and an Islamic Marxist revolution. And it's going to be 6 hours, just like Sabotage is 6 hours. Siege will be 6 hours, but you won't believe the former FBI, CIA, DHS, former Muslims, experts, more people in this one that were in Sabotage, and tomorrow I release the trailer. Now, the trailer for Sabotage is 15 minutes long, and the trailer for Siege is 25 minutes long. Yeah, it's a long trailer. But how do you condense 6 hours of material into a trailer unless it's 15 to 25 minutes? But it won't seem like 25 minutes. It is an amazing trailer. And so I hope you will spread the word all week when we release it tomorrow at siegethemovie.com. Siegethemovie.com. Well, thanks so much for being with us tonight, and we look forward to our live teaching time next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central Time, Lord willing, part 5 in our series, Hamas in America. Till then, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. Take care.